All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, March 12th of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a 10-game NHL main slate today, as well as a 7-game NBA slate. And then the Players Championship for PGA is creeping up on us really, really closely here. So it should be a fun day of DFS, should be a fun week of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You'll also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team here. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. We do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in, get your questions answered, and hang out with me here. But with that said, going to get the app pulled up here. We do have a couple questions in the queue here to get us going. So give me 1 second to get those up. All right. Sorry about that. So looks like first question here came in from Great White Shark in the Discord. So going to open this one up and get this one posted. Question says, I have followed ownership data on SaberSim versus the actual in GPPs, PGA, NBA for a while now, and they really don't well align well much to the time versus projections that do. How is the predicted ownership arrived at? Does this inaccuracy make using ownership filters as a rule a poor choice? I mean, we get questions like this, you know, from time to time here. I will say that, you know, if you've been following it, if you have like data, if you have, you know, something that you can share in the Discord to like say like, hey, you know, this is the predicted ownership, this is, you know, how accurate you guys are. I know people have like done tests on this with like PGA ownership, like in the past, like stuff like that is pretty helpful, tracked across days, across weeks here. So if you have any data like that, that you want to share, you know, I encourage you to do it. We're always looking to improve our processes here, but kind of just like blanket statements like these, like don't really give us like any actionable info or like anything to like really like digest and analyze here. So if you have that data, I would love to see it. But other than that, you know, how we arrive at the ownership projections is, you know, really interesting, right? So we've done this big project where we went from having one set of ownership to now having 13 sets of ownership. So like what we figured out is like, hey, just predicting ownership for the, you know, $15, 150 max on any given night, you know, isn't like the ownership there doesn't reflect very well for single entries, for 20 maxes. You know, you can't just like use it across the board here. So what we did is we wanted to make our ownership projections better. So what we said is like, hey, why don't we look at like, you know, different stakes? Why don't we look at like low stakes, medium stakes, high stakes? And we set out on this project to create three sets of ownership projections. Well, when we did that, what we figured out looking at the data was like, hey, you know, there's actually a lot of differences even within these categories based on the number of entries that you can enter. So, you know, we ended up creating 13 buckets of ownership here from the project. So we went from, you know, one, we set out to get three, and then we ended up with 13. So I say that to, you know, let you know that like our team is always going to go like above and beyond to make our product better. So that's why I encourage you, you know, or anybody listening to, you know, share those findings that you have over like a long period of time. And, you know, I'm sure that the team would love to see it as well and see if we can make our bucket ownership even better than it is. So those are my thoughts there. Good question to get us started. Next one here in the Discord. Okay. So I know we are aiming to play as many unique lineups per slate as possible, and our contest sims give us different lineups for 20 maxes than they do for 3 max and single entry. In general, do we opt to just look for X total lineups within our current build / contest sims to ensure uniqueness, or do we set our multi lineups then refilter for the three max single entry by whatever metric we have been using, even if it leads to having some non-unique lineups between contests. Okay, so I think the question here is like mostly about like, hey, how do you use multiple contest sims with and fill your lineups in a unique way, right? That's like basically what the question's asking. Like, hey, how do I do like a 20 max contest sim, a 3 max contest sim, and a single entry contest sim, and not, you know, duplicate lineups across those? So what I would do here is like, say, you know, I'm playing like the night slate tonight, so I'm going to go and grab my entries file, and then I'm going to set up a couple contest sims, right? So I'm going to do a 20 max. I'll do this one where I have 5 entries, and then I'll do a single entry, right? So a little bit of a mix. So one. So now that I have the three contest sims set up, I'm going to run my lineups. And I'm typically just building them all together here. Really, I do that for like time savings, mostly in NBA. If you're playing like some of these turbo slates, you know, you can probably do like a build for single entry and 3 max, and then a build for 20 max and 150 max. But I don't know how much the sliders change on some of these like smaller slates. We could actually take a peek here. So sim diversity does jump like a little bit here. So I think it's like fine if you want to. 0809 is not like a huge change. So I'm probably just doing it together, just mostly for like time savings, life decisions, and time constraints. But from here, right, I have my lineups built. I'm going to run my contest sim. I'm going to scroll over to the right so I can see my exposures, my pool percent, and my leverage here. And then I notice that I have 55 lineups or 55 entries. So I'm going to build 55 lineups. So when this contest sim ends, I'm going to go into the my lineups box and then just change the number there. So we're just waiting for the contest sim to finish. All right. And contest sim is done. So now just going to change the lineups from 20 to 55. Actually, no, I'm not actually not going to do that. So what I'm going to do is like, hey, we singled out three contests, a 5, a single entry, and a 20. So now that I have all three contest sim results, I can go and sort by each individual contest's results. So I'm going to start with the 20 max. I'm going to go to RAROI. For this contest, I need 20 lineups. So then I'm going to change the my lineups box to 20. I'm going to settle on the 20 lineups I want. I'm going to recheck only the 20 max, and then I'm going to hit save. And then you're going to see the source get updated to say build one with a timestamp. Okay, perfect. Now I'm going to uncheck that one and then go to my next one. So let's say the one I did 5 entries in, right? So then I'm going to go to the next contest sim. I'm going to switch my sorting metric, but before I save to my contest, I'm going to trash the 20 lineups that I already used. I should have done this one step prior. I should have done it while sorted on the original contest sim. So I'm just going to switch back. So what you should do here is fill the lineups, come back, trash the 20 you used. That way they go away, and then switch sorting metrics. So like that's actually the right sequence of events here. That way the lineups don't change. And then now I have my 5 lineup contest. So then I'm going to go save. I'm going to select that contest. I'm going to fill it in the to 1 for the last contest I'm filling here. Switch my single entry to my single entry contest sim. And then I'm going to go and fill that one contest now. And then that is like what I would do if you want to use multiple contest sims for your 20 max, 3 max, single entries. Every time I use it, I'm trashing it so it doesn't get used again. So hope that makes sense. I think that's what you were asking, but if you were asking something different, just let me know. All right, next question here from Marcus. What's the best way to distribute your lineups across different NBA contests? Should I just make the same amount as my entire and randomize it, or is there a more systematic method that's recommended? Okay, so good question. So it's like, say, hey, you know, let's do a different example. Let's say I'm building all of my lineups together and I have 55 lineups and I have 55 entries. You know, how should I fill my contests? And what we recommend is to use one of the unique options, unique random or unique rank. What unique does is it makes sure that it uses every lineup before reusing any other lineup. So here, what it would do is, if I were to use unique rank, it would put the top five lineups in the top contest, or I'm just going to sort by entries, actually. So the top 20 contests, top 20 lineups go in the first contest, second 20 lineups go in the second contest, and then the next five, and then the next five. So it's going to use all 55. Now, let's say that I had 50 lineups, but I have 55 entries. So what's going to happen in a unique rank is that it's going to use the 50. And then when it runs out, so it's going to put 20 in the 20 match. So at this point, I've used 50 lineups. Well, I still have five entries. What it'll do is it'll recycle and it'll start back at one. So that's what it's doing. It's going to use all the lineups it has available before reusing any individual lineup. Now, what unique random does, it does the same thing as far as not reusing any lineup until they've all been used. But instead of the top 20 going in the first contest, it could be any 20. It could be, you know, some combination. So it's going to use all the lineups before using anyone twice, but it's going to, you know, quote, randomly assign them, you know, without doing them in sequential order. So I would recommend the unique rank or the unique random, just since we're on the topic. You know, what rank fill does is that it would put the top 20 lineups in the first contest, and then it would treat the second contest differently, and then put the top 20 in the second contest again. So your 1 through 20 would get used twice, but lineups 21 through 55 would not get used at all. So, you know, by doing rank, you're not using all the lineups. So that's why we recommend unique rank or unique random. If you're going to use unique rank, what I would recommend doing is using this little slide bar here on the left, and you can reorder these into whatever, you know, way you want. Highest entry fees, highest price to first, and say, you know, I want to fill this other contest first. Like, maybe I want to put all my single entries, my top lineups in my three single entries. Well, then I would move those to the top and then, you know, rework the order here so I know my best lineups theoretically here are going into, you know, my top contests. So that's how I would do it. All right. Good question there. Jumping over to the YouTube chat, and it looks like our first question here is from Nick. Do you have any other recommended methods of diversification in place of or to be used along with min uniques? Okay, good question. So, frankly, I don't, but I've heard Max talk about this concept. You know, Max and I did an entire contest flashback series during NFL season where we were, you know, breaking down main slates each and every week. If you missed that series and you want to hear Max's thoughts just about DFS in general, NFL, that's over on our YouTube channel in a playlist called Reviewing Past Slates with Contest Flashback. And one thing that he talked about, which I don't know how well this applies for like some other sports, but the idea was that, like, hey, you know, quarterback ownership, you can get pretty spread out with your quarterbacks and still have positive sim ROI lineups. So what he was doing or discussing, I don't know if he ended up doing it, was setting a global max exposure to only his quarterbacks and then resetting it once the build was run. So basically what would happen, what he would say is like, hey, go to your max exposure, set a max, a global cap here. So maybe you don't want anybody in more than 40% of your lineups. Run your build like this. And then before you actually go to submit your lineups or select the 20 or however many you're going to use, reset the max exposure. So the max exposure works on two levels, okay? The first thing it does is it works on your pool. So, you know, with 5,000. So, you know, let's say that you build 5,000 lineups. Well, if you put a global max exposure of 40, What we're going to do first is we're going to make sure that no player is used in more than 40% of your lineups across the 5,000. And then what happens secondarily is now, depending on how many lineups you're viewing, we're going to apply that same 40% to the lineups you're viewing secondary. So what Max was talking about was like, hey, why don't you put this global max exposure just to get diversification in your pool? And then when you actually go to look at however many lineups you need, just turn it off and allow the builder to give you more than 40%. Because let's say that, you know, you have 40% of a player in 5,000 lineups. I think that is 1,000. No, that's 2,000. So that would mean that each player is used in no more than 2,000 lineups. Well, if you're only building 150 lineups, that's still plenty of lineups to get 100% exposure of a player. So he's basically guaranteeing the diversification in his pool and then saying, hey, I'm actually okay getting more than 40% of this player across my portfolio. So like that is one way to guarantee even more diversity in the lineup set that's built, and then turn it off and then look at what lineups you want to take with you into your contest. So as far as like diversification, that is one other thing that comes to mind here that I've heard a top player like Max Steinberg talk about. All right. Question from Anthony. If you adjust the total points for a team for a blowout, such as the Nuggets over Detroit, to like a 30-point blowout, does it put bench players in more and put the starters on the bench? Okay, good question. So let's say that, you know, we're going over to the main slate tonight, and it doesn't look like Denver plays the Pistons, but, you know, theoretical example here, right? So let's say that, you know, there's some other game that is a potential blowout. Let's say that, you know, Boston and Utah, right? So if you go in here and you change the team total, so think about it like this. We have 5,000 game sims of how this game can play out. So, you know, the outcomes in those games are on a spectrum, right? There's low scoring games, there's high scoring games, there's games that are close, there are games that go into overtime, there are games that are blowouts, right? So when you adjust the team totals, what we do is we go into our database and we basically start trashing sims. And what you're doing is you're curating your pool of available sims to choose from. So if you turn this into a blowout, well, what we're going to do is we're going to try and match the team total that you've set. We're going to try and get you a group of sims that where we've reduced the number from, say, 5,000 to, you know, 4,500, and we've got rid of 500 sims that don't match what your input is. So then those sims would be furthest away from what you're trying to achieve. So then you're going to get more of the sims that are closer to blowouts, that are more like what you're predicting. And then in those sims, we understand that, hey, you know, it's the fourth quarter and Boston's up by 20, you know, Jason Tatum is probably not going to play as many minutes. So what you're doing is you are basically favoring sims that more match what you're trying to accomplish. So that's like a long-winded way of saying, yes, we will move closer to this outcome where bench players play more, starters play less, because we understand all of those dynamics in a blowout scenario. All right. Question from DGen said, I noticed with larger slates, even when I have the unique set to 9, I'm still seeing the same players in multiple lineups. Any particular reason? And then Nick said, you can have the same player, but the same combination shouldn't be appearing. So it sounds like you're probably building for FanDuel, because I know FanDuel has 9 players in an NBA lineup and DraftKings only has 8, unless you're playing hockey. But so the way the Min Uniques works is that, you know, however many lineups you have, and then whatever this number is set to, it's going to basically try and find a set of lineups that match this. So one thing that can happen here, like let's say I need 50 lineups. Well, let's say I set my Min Unique to 8. Well, what the builder's going to do, well, let's try 7. It's like, hey, at 7, I can only find 3 lineups that match, that have 7 players different from from every other lineup. And so your number of my lineups can go down, but you're going to see here that like, hey, only three players are used twice. So like that follows with me as because these lineups can share one player. So like, you know, in each of the three, like, hey, they're sharing one across it. So if you're trying to play, you know, say three completely unique lineups, but your exposures are not saying, you know, each player is used in one, then I would be a little bit concerned. And if you feel like you're seeing some type of bug or issue, go to the top right corner, drop down menu, go to report a problem, write us a brief description of what you're encountering. And then our troubleshooting team will be able to look into this and figure out what's happening. So if it feels like something is off, I would send us a report. And then that helps our team a lot to figure out what's going on. All right. Question from Dante said, hey, Drew, just stopped in to thanks for your explanation on ROI versus RAROI. The other day, I ended up winning the $4 20 max Sunday because of your advice on that. Awesome, man. That's great to hear, dude. Congratulations. Hope to keep hearing of your success. And anybody else who's tuning into the show, you know, you guys are putting in the time. You guys are trying to get better. You guys are asking questions and you're doing all the right things to make yourself a better DFS player. So I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. DJ said, any way to make it so have actual unique lineups amongst generated lineups instead? We touched on this. Marky Mark said, could you detail the optimizer randomness and what would be a great range number to use for NBA? Yeah, sure. So I actually have, so if you're going to be using, you know, optimizer mode, it's important to like understand what all these different things mean. So if I open up my build settings, go to change a build mode to optimizer, I'm going to get this randomness pop up here. And then from the randomness, you know, you have two options. You have uniform and then you have normal. Give me a second here to pull up my notes on this. And then we could talk about it. Okay, so let's first talk about uniform. So this is like the definition for uniform. The value enter here will be applied both above and below the player's average projection to get the potential range of outcomes. So this is like assuming players are like normally distributed and like, hey, you know, we're going to go 10% above their mean. We're going to go 10% below their mean, basically. Now, what normal does is you use this option if you want to upload a custom value for each player's range of values. You could do this the same way you upload projections and ownership. So what you would do is you would switch to normal, and then you would switch to custom, and then you could basically upload your own range of outcomes for the players. And then within normal, there are three options. There's normal Saber Sim, which I could switch over to. There's normal custom, and then there's normal global. So normal Saber Sim, it's going to use the default Saber Sim standard deviation values for all the players. So you don't see them here in the app, but if you actually download the CSV on the home screen here and you open up the download, we actually have standard deviations for all the players here. So if I just like pull up my full screen, what you're going to see is like these three columns here, AT, AU, AV and AW, four columns actually. It'll say DK standard deviation, FanDuel standard deviation, Yahoo standard deviation, and Owner's Box standard deviation. So we have a couple of, you know, options for you there. So like those would get used if you were using normal Saber Sim here. And then we have normal custom. And then what normal custom is going to do is it will use custom data that you have uploaded as a standard deviation for all the players. So if you have something different, but you want to upload those like the way kind of I just showed you, then I would use normal custom. And then what normal global is going to do is going to set the standard deviation for each player to the entered percentage relative to their average projection. So, you know, you could have two players with a similar standard deviation, but if their average projections are different, then, or you could have like the same, you know, percent randomness, but if their average projections are different, they're going to have a little bit different range of outcomes. So those are all of the definitions for the different randomness options here. All right. Question from Neil. Hi, Andrew. I think I have a good example for an ownership discrepancy. On Saturday on DK, Gafford was projected for 20% and came in at 57%. It was first game of the slate. So late swap, not an issue. Thanks in advance for your help. And let's go SaberSim. Okay. So little challenging. Let's just go to Saturday. And let's go to Friday. Okay, so I think we're talking about this Dallas-Detroit game here. I know that Gafford like just recently moved into the starting lineup here. So what we could do here is like we could basically do like kind of a check, right? So we look at like flagship MME. This is like pre-slate. He's like 26% owned. But then, you know, because the live projections are using his actual ownership in the contest, we can go in and like see. And actually, it's actually like right here for us, I think. Flagship MME live. So you're right. He did come in like twice as heavy here. So like, you know, examples like this are like good. Cause like, I could kind of like take these back to the team and like, you know, basically say like, hey, you know, these are like good examples. So, you know, I appreciate the insight, like Neil, I appreciate the insight from somebody else posted it here. I think it was Great White Shark. So things like this are good. You know, I would say that sometimes here, you know, cause I was playing this slate, is that there's two things here. So like one is kind of like, why do you late swap? So like when you late swap, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get players at an ownership discount. So what you're trying to say is like, hey, you know, if what's a good example here? Let's say that Nikola Jokic gets ruled out in one of like the later games. Well, you know, maybe Jamal Murray comes in at 30% owned. But if Jamal Murray was not, but if Jokic was ruled out, you know, hours to the slate starting, maybe Murray comes in at like 60%, right? So like that is like an ownership deficiency. So one thing I think that can happen here is like, hey, when this news comes out for the first game of the night, you know, when Gafford is starting like for the first time, and maybe people are going to want to play him more. And that sometimes is more along the lines of like what you see in like NFL and golf with like players getting steamed up like over the week here. Like we'll definitely see something like that in the players probably, where it's just like, hey, there's just going to be this one golfer, you know, projected for like 30% and they just come in at like 40 or like 45. So like some of those things are hard to know, but I think what you can do here is like build up kind of an intuition and just like understand like, hey, you know, this player is like a value play. There is not a lot of value, you know, coming up here. You know, maybe they're just going to end up in more lineups because people are going to want to secure that early value, even if there's questionables on the slate. And it looks like, you know, Trace Jackson ended up playing here. I don't know when that news came out, but let's say like, you know, Golden State announces late that like he's going to play, right? Like you probably get him in an ownership discount. So just kind of be aware of like some of those game theory things in the meantime, I guess is like what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah, you know, we'll definitely take a look at some of these things and like improve where we can. But I think that there's always going to be game theory components, people, you know, just identifying that early value, guys starting for the first time and just kind of like jam him in. And I think that you could be like conscious of those things over time here and, you know, help your own ownership projections by just building up this intuition. So not trying to say we're going to ignore it, but I'm just trying to like give some tips in the meantime, because I think some of those things go a little bit slower. All right. Question from Eric. Can you talk about the standard deviation? Do we want low numbers, high numbers? What does that metric indicate? Okay. So it sounds like we're talking about the contest sim standard deviation. So a good way to think about it is, you know, the same way a player has a distribution, you know, when I click on any individual player here, I can click on Kevin Huerter and I go and I see his distribution. Now, what we're doing is we're summarizing all of his fantasy outputs across all of our game sims. Well, when we run, you know, the contest sim 100,000 times, you also get a lineup distribution. You get a payout distribution for a lineup. So what the standard deviation is describing is, hey, what does that range of outcomes for the lineup look like? And typically here, lineups with a higher standard deviation are going to be a little bit more boom and bust. Lineups with a lower standard deviation are going to be a little less variant. And, you know, I've it's interesting, right? Like, you kind of want less variance, right? You want to try and lower your variance any way you can. But some of those higher, you know, like, I guess basically, like, with more upside comes more downside. So, like, if you're okay with that risk, then yeah, you can, like, lean on, like, the higher standard deviation, like, side of it. But if you're, you know, a little more risk averse person, maybe you want to try and play like some lower standard deviation lineups. But that's basically like the trade-off. That's kind of what it means. And I'll let you figure out, you know, what you want to do with that information. All right. Question from Sean. How do I eliminate tight end from the flex? Good question. I did not know it was football season, but either way, I can show you guys how to do that. So let's say that, you know, you're playing NFL, let's say not NFL. Let's say you're playing NBA tonight, and for whatever reason, for you know, whatever reason, is I would go over to my utility lineup slot. And then in this slot, I can manage the players that are available. So if I look at my exposures, I see I have some power forwards. Well, maybe I don't want any power forwards. So then what I'm going to do is right click on position, and then I am going to select anybody who has a power forward only designation. Maybe I don't want to play guys that are only power forwards. So then now that I've filtered for them, I can go to the left mass uncheck button. I can uncheck them all, and then I go back to position, right click on the column header name, reselect all the positions. I hit this apply. And then now it will make sure that any player used here is not solely a power forward. So this, you know, is a lot more common in like football, but I mean, hey, UFL is coming pretty soon here. So maybe somebody needed to see that, but that is how you manage players in your flex. I think people will do that like for hockey. You know, maybe we could have done like a hockey example. If like you don't want any defensemen in your utility, you know, you would basically do it the same exact way. All right. Question from Marcus. Can you give me a quick rundown of what RAROI means? Good question. So it stands for risk adjusted ROI. So when we created the contest sim metrics, we originally just had ROI, win rate, cash rate, standard deviation. Well, what we found was that, you know, some of the lineups that were the highest ROI were also really, really risky. And the reason for that is because they would be super low ownership. And when they did well, they would just have a very clear and obvious path to first place. So oftentimes, you know, we release them during baseball season and you would just see all of these stacks against the chalky pitcher. And so we wanted to figure out a way to like help people play lineups that were a little less leveraged. And what we did was we went and did the omega ratio of the lineups, which is this fancy mathematical formula that basically looks at how often the lineup wins and how much it wins versus how often the lineup loses and how much it loses. So from there, what we do is we coined the term risk-adjusted ROI because we're still taking So right now, you know, when people ask like, hey, what sorting metrics should I use? RAROI is our go-to. We would recommend it. You know, the good thing about it is that it's looking at all the other metrics and then giving the lineup a score as opposed to just describing one piece of the contest sim here. So that's what RAROI means. And if you have any more questions about it, just let me know. But with that said, it looks like we're all caught up in the Office Hours channel and in Discord here. I'm sorry, and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in and hanging out with me, asking questions. We get more and more viewers every day. So I appreciate it. You know, just shows that the channel is growing. I hope you guys like the content that you see here. And until tomorrow, I will be right back here Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.